Good morning, everyone, and welcome to FBC Radio Live. It is October 28th, 2022. We're just a few days away from Halloween. I love Halloween. However, we got a little sneak peek of Halloween once again last night, watching the Buccaneers absolutely fall flat against the Baltimore Ravens and drop two games under 500 this late in the season. And John, if it sounds strange, it is, because this is the first time in Tom Brady's 23-year career that he's been under 500 two games at this point. It's quite absurd to think about, but not surprising based on what we've seen from this team as a whole over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the alarming thing to me is how poor the defense is, right? Because you would think that would still be a good unit. I mean, Baltimore had over 300 yards of offense in the second half last night. That's in a half. And Baltimore does have a really good offense, explosive offense. Lamar Jackson, sensational. We get all that. But they just went up and down the field in the second half, and they had scored 3 points in the first half and managed 24 in the second half. So no matter at that point what the Bucs offense was doing, it was going to be difficult to maintain with the Ravens. So that's as shocking as anything else, because we thought they had a top 10 defense, and they haven't really shown up this year.
Well, I think – and for obvious reasons, Sean, we know why the defense gets overrated, because Brady won. So, you know, obviously the natural, you know, instinct is to say, oh, well, obviously it was a great defense. And look, they played a lot better in the last couple of years. I didn't think they were this, you know, legendary elite unit, but they were really good and certainly big in key moments. And that just has not been the case this year. But again, it's across the board. And before I get attacked by Buccaneers fans and everyone else, no, I am not absolving Tom Brady of everything. I very clearly have said that he has been frustrated, and it's clearly affecting his play. But if you're watching this game and think that he's either 100% of the problem or the main problem, then you got to maybe reevaluate how you evaluate football, because this team... I mean, look, it's right off the bat, John. First punt. attempt at fielding a punt. What happens? Their players run into each other and create a situation where the Ravens have a goal-to-go situation right off the bat. And it's like, okay, great, awesome. Doesn't seem like they're prepared. But then they come out, first couple drives, all of a sudden the offense looks a little bit more similar to what it was last year. You know, a nice mix of run and pass, but not like very predictable run, run, pass. And it moved the ball down. But in hindsight now, it seems like maybe they put together a nice first 15 plays, so to speak, John, and it kind of fell apart after that. And that's really a side of a team that isn't able to adjust to what's happening. And you see that on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball last night. And that, to me, screams coaching.
Yeah, I mean, you get the scripted plays, they work, and then, of course, you get into the game, and that's where the adjustments take place, and they weren't able to do that. And look, the offenses look choppy pretty much all year, and the defense is starting to falter as well. And they're just fortunate they're in a division where I don't think there's any other team capable of winning it. I mean, you could see Tampa go 8-9 and win the division and then host a wild card game, and as poorly as they've played so far, and they may continue to play poorly, that's still a daunting task for, say, the Giants to go into Tampa, even though the Giants might be 12-5 and Tampa could be 8-9, 9-8. And Tampa could still present problems because of the quarterback. He could still step up and they get things right and, you know, shock the world. So I still think they're going to make the playoffs because, I mean, Carolina's in a total rebuild. They're trading off parts. New Orleans can't get out of its own way. I mean, Atlanta's been fairly competitive. They're 3-4, but do you really think that they're going to have a winning record when it's all said and done? So, I mean, they're in a position where they've got time to get this thing right, but we now are into midseason, you know, and they've got to start getting in the right direction. It doesn't even seem like they're doing that. Like you said, the punt. I mean, didn't they have a similar situation against Kansas City with a kickoff early in that game?
Yeah.
Where, they fumbled the kickoff, and next thing you know, it was 7-0 before you sat down and had your first sandwich of the game.
Yeah, and look, I mean, these are the things that, like, just set a bad tone right off the bat. And look, like I said, I mean, has Tom been perfect? Absolutely not. And anyone who's actually taken the time to follow what I've said, and as opposed to just reacting to my reaction to other fans, I've said that, and we've talked about it, John. There's no doubt that, yeah, he's missed some plays, but don't sit there and tell me that. And I said this last night on Twitter. I mean, people will sit here, and I'm not going to apologize for this. If push comes to shove, if there's a miscommunication, and there seems to be a lot on this offense, I'm sorry. I'm going to give Tom Brady, Tom freaking Brady, the benefit of the doubt. And, like, you know, people want to sit here and convince me that, oh, no, Kate Otten was running the right route. It was Tom that missed him. Or, no, it was Mike Evans. He knew what he was doing. No, I'm sorry. That's not the case. Like, and Mike Evans is an enigma to me because all the talent in the world, John. I mean, he makes catching some of these deep balls look easy. But then he has passes go hit him directly in the chest, bounce off. You have instances like on the goal line where you could tell, like, the effort wasn't there. And, you know, to think that you're Mike Evans, you're about the only goal line threat, end zone threat, this offense has. And for you to not be ready for a pass coming to you, that's inexcusable. That's not on the quarterback. I'm sorry, you cannot convince me that Tom misread that play or didn't know what was happening during that play. He expected Mike Evans, and we know, John, Tom, the way Tom plays offense, Brady runs the offense, it's a lot of timing, it's a lot of, he expects you to be where you're supposed to be. And this offense isn't doing that. Now, part of it is, well, he has to get rid of the ball very quickly because the offensive line, for the most part, has struggled. It was a lot better yesterday. And I think, again, at least in pass protection, running the ball still, it's an absolute disaster. 44 yards, it's pathetic. But, like, at least pass protection was better without Gotchow, I'm thinking Patriots. The lineman there for the Bucs, I'm completely blanking on his name right now. But, you know, the point is there are issues across the board for this team. Tom is probably the least to their worries because imagine, John, imagine if this team actually turned the ball over on offense, how bad it would be. They haven't committed a turnover thanks to the way Brady's playing. And people are criticizing him about being too protective. Well, when your team leads the league in drop passes and you have piss poor protection like you've had for the majority of this, you know, season so far, it's kind of hard to trust making some of those really 50-50 plays down the field. And like I said, if this team committed turnovers, it would be 10 times worse, because guess what, on the flip side, I think it's been what, 4 games since the Bucs created a turnover on defense?
Right.
Where's the criticism in that? That's bad. Talk about not only poor tackling, but how can you not create turnovers for an entire month and a half?
Yeah, and you haven't exactly been playing the greatest quarterbacks, right? PJ
No.
Walker last week, the week before that, you had the combination of Mitch Trubisky and
Kenny Pickett
from Pittsburgh, the rookie quarterback. So it wasn't like you were facing murderer's row of quarterbacks. So, yeah, they're not creating those turnovers that they did the last 2 years. And that, to me, is always the biggest thing in football's turnover battle, right? I mean, if you win the turnover battle, you win 62-63% of the time. If you win it by two, it goes up to like 80%. And Brady's only thrown one interception this year, so he's setting his team up to be in a position to win those turnover battles, and they're not able to take advantage of that. Yeah, and then, again, the offensive line play has been choppy all year long, especially towards the middle. He doesn't have his center, Ryan Jensen. He doesn't have his two guards from a year ago, Ali Marpet. It's been really, really a difficult situation for them at this point. And now they've got a little bit of a break because they're playing on a Thursday and they don't play again until next week. So, you know, and then there's a bye week kind of mixed in there. If they can just kind of hold on and then maybe things regurgitate and get better during the bye week. That did happen 2 years ago. Remember, they got the bye week when they were 7-5 and they got everything straightened out. But, you know, I didn't think we'd be saying this, but Bruce Arians actually was, you know, a calming influence in that situation. I guess he and Brady went out and played golf during the break and kind of rectified whatever issues there were. They came back and never lost again. I don't know if that's on the table this time around.
No, I mean, look, I said it after the game, and I've been kind of advocating it for a while because I think this is kind of the root of the problem. Is someone, this coaching staff cannot come back next week when they take the field again as the same group. I mean, it just isn't. Is it realistic to fire Todd Bowles right now? Probably not, although I do believe that he is a big part of the problem, which means it's would likely end up being Byron Leftwich. And look, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, man. Like, you know, we're watching this offense every single week. Incredibly, you know, just predictable. There's no creativity. And the fact that these players are not prepared, it seems, every single week, that's an indictment on coaching, John. Like, there's nothing about that doesn't scream there's a coaching problem. And we talked about the reaction we had last week to the run. It's like, okay, so Julio Jones is out for, like, I don't know, how long? And you decide on a crucial, third down call that you're going to run a sweep with him? Like, come on. Like, what are we doing here, you know? So, look, at the end of the day, it was not a good game by any means at any level for the Buccaneers. The Ravens came in with one of the worst pass defenses in the league, one of the worst defenses in the league, and they could not take advantage of it. And same issues over and over and over again. Miscommunication, drop passes, just inconsistency across the board from drive to drive. Like, you'll have one play here, one play there, and then it's these back-breaking penalties. Like I said to start the show, it's like, I'm pretty sure Leonard Fournette got a better head start than Jerry did in the race on Seinfeld. would have been a touchdown pass to Chris Godwin, and it would have been an overtime game. You know what I'm saying? But, oh, right. No, it's 100% on Brady, according to some of these knuckleheads on Twitter. No, I look at it, and it's frustrating because it's like this team should be better. But maybe it shouldn't, John. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe me believing that they should be better is where I'm at fault, and I can't, you know, come to grips with it. Because, like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, Brady's not turning the ball over. He's on pace for 4,800 yards passing. Now, the touchdown numbers aren't going to be there, but, you know, again, this team just isn't scoring touchdowns in general. So, that's a bigger problem than just him. This team doesn't turn the ball over on offense, but yet they have absolutely no advantage. You talk about the turnover battle. They win it just about every week because they don't turn the ball over. So you got to figure. But then again, they also don't create turnovers. So that's a huge problem.
Yeah, it's all across the board. I mean, do you demote Byron Leftwich and promote Clyde Christensen, make him the play caller in midseason? Is that an option? I don't know. I don't think you're going to fire Todd Bowles midseason at this point, but they have to be all in with Brady because I don't think he's coming back there next year if he's coming back anywhere.
Yeah.
May just retire or go to Miami or San Francisco or pick some other place. So you just go all in this year and say, let's win one for the Gipper and do what we have to do to get the most out of this and see what happens. But again, I do think it's almost an impossibility for them to not make the playoffs. So that sounds strange when you're talking about a 3-5 team, right? Who's lost three straight games. You don't generally say, well, I still think they're going to make the playoffs, but the division is so weak and they sneak in there. Who the hell knows what can happen?
And look, I mean, the bye week, you know, hopefully the mini bye week in this instance, and then the real one coming up, hopefully is a catalyst for change. But again, it's just there are so many issues on this team, and it's maybe I come across as being a little biased. It's okay. It happens. But Tom Brady is the least of this Buccaneers team's problems, and it each and every week it's very apparent, to me at least. And again, I will say this for the 100th time. It does not mean that he is without blame or he has been perfect, which people like to twist my words on me a little bit. You see me on Twitter, right, John? You follow me, right? Right. I get
do.
In discussions yep. every so often, you know, very
every
reasonable.
10 minutes or so, yeah, especially during the game.
Yeah, during the game. Yeah. Well, you know, I like to have my voice heard. But no, I just, like I said, you looking at this team, you look at the roster that they put together, is it flawed? Absolutely. But, you know, which roster in the league isn't flawed at this point? And I don't know. I don't know. This team looks absolutely lost, and I just don't see a easy solution or even a somewhat difficult solution to fix this problem. I do think that someone has to go. And going through the list, it seems like maybe Byron Leftwich is probably that guy. But if you expect anything different, and you by coming back with the same exact coaching staff, then the season's over, because they've shown absolutely no ability to adjust to anything during the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, it has been frustrating to watch. It's not even pleasurable, really, to watch Tampa or Green Bay. Really, both teams are so similar in that sense that they're just kind of like kind of frustrating to watch. I guess that's the only word I can use. And their defenses aren't as good as I thought they were going to be. Their special teams both continue to make mistakes. Green Bay has their issues on special teams, as does Tampa. And the quarterbacks are out there, and they both could play better. There's no question about that. But, you know, at some point, you do need help from other parts of your team than just putting it on the quarterback and saying he'll take care of business. The teams are similar. Maybe we could have got a little glimpse of that when they played each other. The 14-12 game, and it was just kind of it felt like a game that never ended, right? It just was just going on and on and on and on, and it wasn't really good football. And unfortunately, both teams have carried that type of play forward the rest of the season.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's, you know, we've got a big enough sample size to see that now, which, again, you're right. Maybe we should have been a little bit more accepting of what we saw in that game against each other, and against, you know, with Brady and Rodgers, but very similar situations where it's like, you know, these guys, like I said, how can you, I'm speaking to the over-the-top critical, and you're seeing, you know, some of these knuckleheads on Twitter, not necessarily Bucks fans, kind of circle the wagons. I mean, you get the Andrew Filippone or whatever his name is from Pittsburgh claiming Ben Roethlisberger from last year was better than Brady. It's like, that's absurd. That's like a criminal tweet right there. You know what I mean? That's outrageous, because we all saw what Ben Roethlisberger looked like last year. So, like, you know, but you're getting that type of reaction, or, oh, Tom Brady's 2015 Peyton Manning. 2015 Peyton Manning had 7 touchdowns and 16 interceptions and could not throw the ball past 5 yards. Tom Brady can still throw the ball. He hasn't shown a physical decline, other than we're seeing exactly what we saw in 2019, or actually more specifically, it kind of feels almost like a 2013 Patriots team. They're very limited on the offensive line. The talent around them wasn't great, but they were better coached. So I think here they're poorly coached. They have talent, but they just can't reconcile, and a lot of the same thing. So there's a lot of frustration leading to a lot of mistakes and a lot of miscommunication, which, like I said, at the end of the day, if you're going to ask me, well, who do you think is responsible for the miscommunication, Tom Brady or Kate Otten? Well, just think about that question for a minute. Doesn't mean it 100% never Tom's fault, but if you believe it was on Brady, then I don't know what to tell you, so.
Yeah, I still think he misses Gronk, not just on the field, but off the field. I think that would perk him up a bit if Gronk was to return, certainly add another weapon on the field. I don't know what condition. I'm sure Gronk's in good condition. I don't know if he's in football shape. That's a totally different thing. Yeah. But I think he's just like his best buddy and just makes him happy.
Well,
and
I mean,
there are people like that you need to have in your life. That just, you know, when they're around you, you just feel better. And I think that's one of the cases.
And look, I mean, I've made a very concerted effort to not really spend much time on his personal life. Because really, that has nothing to do with what we're, you know what I mean? Like, us discussing and people discussing his personal life and the things that are going through, he's going through, it's none of our business. And quite frankly, shouldn't really seep into the sports world, but that's how, you know, that's how sports are talked about nowadays. So,
well, it could impact his play on the field,
but
that's justifiable.
No, that's justifiable, but I'm saying, like, people talking about, you know, what he should do on a personal level, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, you know, this guy's going out here, it's like, I've been an absolute mess from breakups in the past, like an absolute baby about it, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy's, and that was nothing more than, you know, younger, you know, relationships, whatever. This guy's talking about a marriage potentially breaking up. And then on top of that, John, I mean, think about the amount of effort it would take for him to just not go beat the ever-living bleep out of Antonio Brown based on what he's doing. Like,
right.
Think about that. From a, and again, anyone out there who is, you know, doing like the dead emoji or laughing at, you know, Antonio Brown's actions, you might want to take a long, long look in the mirror, because, I mean, there is plenty of room for disagreement across the board. Everyone has their own opinion. Everyone has their views on certain things. But I'm fairly certain that everyone would agree that when someone attacks your family, your wife, and makes these type of, you know, does these type of things in the public eye, that should cross the line for absolutely everyone. I don't care what fan of a team you are. I don't care who you are. It's absolutely disgusting on his part. So on top of obviously dealing with the personal stuff with the whatever it is, the divorce or whatnot, like I said, I'm not going to sit here and speculate and dive too much into it. He's got to deal with, you know, Antonio Brown selling T-shirts of him hugging his wife. You know what I mean? Like, that's mm-hmm. absurd. And, like, everyone's like, oh, he's washed. He sucks. You know, he can't do this. He can't do that. I'm like, sports discussion is in the toilet, my friend. There's not much we can do about it.
Is it really a surprise that Antonio Brown is the president of Donda Sports, which is owned by one Kanye West?
No, no longer has any clients. Birds of a feather, you know?
Yeah, there's no more clients. Aaron Donald left. Jaylen Brown left, probably a little too late, but they did finally leave. Yeah, so, I mean, when I think of Antonio Brown being the CEO of Donda Sports, it feels like a story from The Onion, although it's not that absurd to think about, because it makes sense, because those two guys should be together and be together wherever they are.
Yeah, and it's I don't know. So, you know, add in those factors, and it's like, you can understand why maybe there's some struggle on the field. And it's not an excuse. It's just, again, what person out there would be able to, like, if I were in his shoes, I would probably end up going to jail because I would go beat the hell out of him. But that's just me. I'm not as mentally strong as Tom Brady. So, all right, enough of that, because we do have to do our picks. Like, I could rant and rave for another 2 hours, but I don't really want to do that, because I do want to give our picks for the rest of the weekend's action, and maybe Monday during our Halloween celebration we'll have some fun with that. So, hold on, I gotta bring mine up here. I forgot to print out the page, so you're gonna have to deal with me. Just a second here. Where are we? Come on now. Here we go. All right. Obviously, the big game of the weekend, Buffalo, Green Bay, which, again, we've been talking about Tampa Bay, but you can switch out a few names and pretty much insert Aaron Rodgers' name where Tom Brady's name is, and some of the same issues, you know what I mean? So it's like, again... Mm-hmm. We're both on the same page here. You know what I mean? Like, we're sitting here watching, and, like, I've always, you know, picked Brady over Rodgers, and you're a Rodgers fan, all that stuff. But, you know, it's absurd to think, like, I've never said Rodgers sucks, right? Like, that's the difference, I think, between normal, reasonable criticism and what we're seeing now. And again, I equate a lot of this to just how these debate shows have kind of taken over how we... you know, present sports to people. And it's created what I believe is to be a awful generation of sports fans, because, and I don't necessarily blame them, John. I don't, because you have to get your information from somewhere. And that information is now coming from guys like Shannon Sharpe and Skip Bayless or Nick Wright or, you know, Chris Broussard and all these guys that have these ass backwards, hypocritical, nonsensical arguments that really have nothing to do with the sport that they're talking about. It's all drama and narrative. But that's the information that reaches these fans. So now it's like, oh, Brady sucks. He's washed. What does washed even mean, John? Because, again, washed to me seems like someone who is incapable of throwing the ball. Someone who's physically deteriorating. And that's not what I'm seeing from a guy like Tom Brady. I'm seeing a complete lack of communication, a horrible coaching, bad decision making across the board in terms of what plays to call, when to call them. And look, I'm sorry. If I see Devin White celebrate a tackle after the Ravens gain a first down on a play again, I mean, I'm going to lose it. I don't know if you caught that, though, but the Ravens, I think Lamar Jackson picked up a hard first down, and Devin White made the tackle, and he's getting up fist pumping like he just stopped him on fourth down. Like, get head in the game. You know what I mean? And well, this team is just not there.
I'm sure they did that last year or the year before. It's just they weren't winning. They're not winning. They were winning then, so it gets overlooked, right?
Well, but exactly, though. I mean, there's a time. The awareness is completely just off the charts bad. Like, in game, in preparation, in play, post play. I mean, it's not there. And again, look at the penalties, look at the timing of the penalties, look at the puzzling calls and when they were made. It all adds up. And again, the root cause of all this, in my opinion, is the coaching. And then you can start looking at maybe some of the injuries, but I don't like to blame injuries because every team deals with injuries. This team should not be this bad based on the players that they have on the field. So, all right, seriously, though, we're moving on. I can't deal with it anymore.
I hope so.
I can't do it, John. I can't. But to answer Joel, yes, are we dressing up on Monday? Well, maybe. We'll see. I might have to do that. I got to get a costume, though. I mean, it is Halloween, so maybe I'll go.
Well, just go with, look, Joe Burrow's playing Monday night.
Yeah.
So get a Bengals jersey, Joe Burrow number 9, and go out as Joe Burrow. Right. I think you could definitely sell that.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. But anyways, all right, let's get to talking about actual football and breaking news, John. Okay, not really breaking. But Denver at Jacksonville, Russell Wilson will be on the field for the Denver Broncos. Whooped.
Without jet lag, right?
Without jet lag.
Sure, that. He's
the only one who does it. Well, you know, all those high knees and exercising on the plane, that kind of negated the jet lag. So, no, but we have Denver at Jacksonville. So, I'm going to take Jacksonville. In London, this is kind of their territory, right? This is where Jaguars country really is over in London. I think two teams that aren't terribly good. I'll take Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'll go with Jacksonville here. Yeah, I mean, if Denver loses this game, does Nathaniel Hackett get left in London?
Probably should.
After 8 games as head coach,
he should have been left over here when they went over to London. You kidding me?
And if that's the case, does he go back to Green Bay for the rest of the season to maybe be the guy that repairs things in Green Bay
because Aaron Rodgers loves him?
Yeah, why not?
I like it.
I'm up on that.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Probably I'll go with Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville. Chicago at Dallas. You got Dallas hosting the Bears. I like Dallas in this one. Chicago, I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to make of what they did against the Patriots. I don't know if it was the Patriots being bad or Chicago figuring it out. I really don't know. But Chicago certainly has a tougher test against the Cowboys this week, and I don't think they're going to pass that one. So give me Dallas.
Same here. I mean, Dallas, Dak Prescott, a second week back from an injury. I think he'll be sharper this time around. Their defense is legit, and they put pressure on quarterbacks. And Justin Fields, I was impressed with him Monday night, but, you know, he does get sacked quite a bit and does have a tendency of turning the ball over after those sacks. So I'll go with Dallas at home.
Next, we have the Patriots heading to New York, and it was a tough loss last week on Monday. I cannot for the life of me pick the Jets over the Patriots at all. And especially now with the Jets having suffered some pretty bad injuries, especially to their young stud running back, Breece Hall, who's out for the season. Now, they acquired Brian Robinson from Carolina, but I think New England's going to win this one. Another week of practice and getting ready for Mac Jones. I think he's going to be much better next week. So I'll take the Patriots in this one.
I'll go with the Jets in a low-scoring game. I can't see how the offenses do much here. The Jets are all banged up along that offensive line, but their defensive line is dominant. David Andrews probably not going to play for the Patriots.
Right. They're fine center. That's a huge loss.
That's a big blow. So I low-scoring win by the Jets at the Meadowlands. And they would get to 6-2, and the Patriots would get to 3-5, which would be just bizarro world.
Yeah. What kind of world are we living in, John? I
It's
can't deal with
crazy.
that. It's unbelievable. But Las Vegas at New Orleans, New Orleans is just kind of a in a, you know, again, this is one of the reasons why there's still hope for the Buccaneers, is because the rest of the division isn't necessarily a go-to division when you're trying to find juggernauts in this league. New Orleans definitely is not one of them. So I despite their flaws, I think that the Raiders do get a win here in New Orleans.
Yeah, I'll go with this. I mean, the difference is Devontae Adams. Just like the
Yeah.
difference was a lot of games when he was in Green Bay. He's that good. Literally doesn't drop passes. So I'll go with the Raiders in a squeaker there. But yeah, this is one of those games. Anything could possibly happen. These are like two teams that occasionally show up and look really good,
Yep.
and other times look god awful.
Next we have Pittsburgh at Philadelphia. Philadelphia. I mean, sorry,
Yeah.
I don't have anything else to add to it. I mean, this team's a stud team. We talked about it before. They're probably going to be favored in just about every game, at least for the next several weeks, and rightfully so, because they don't really play a great team. Again, relative to what we're seeing this year in the NFL, where there really isn't a lot of great teams. There's a few teams that are pretty good to really good, but that's it. And everything else is just kind of, fat and ribs. That's it.
Yeah, no, and they're one of the.
You got your glamour muscles up top, and then everything else is just, whatever.
They're one of the few teams that's solid throughout. Yeah, Philadelphia should be able to handle Pittsburgh.
Next we have Minnesota hosting the Cardinals, and combined with the fact they're playing the Cardinals and it's not on prime time, I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings.
One of my upsets of the week. I like
Ooh.
Arizona. Again, they tend to play pretty well on the road, sometimes better than they do at home. And Minnesota's prone for a stinker, and Kyler Murray sitting on maybe a big game. So I'll take the Cardinals in an upset.
Next, Carolina at Atlanta, where the winner, John, would have sole possession of first place in the NFC South.
Right.
I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons because, well, I to your point, and we've talked about it before. They've been competitive at times, more so I believe than Car then again Carolina handled the Buccaneers last week, so who knows what's going to happen with them. But I am going to take Atlanta at home on this one.
I just figure the way the NFL works. Carolina had a great game Sunday against Tampa, major upset, 21-3 over the Buccaneers. They'll dip and play a stinker. And Atlanta got pretty much manhandled by Cincinnati last week, so they'll bounce back. So I'll take Atlanta in this one.
Next, we have the Dan Campbell Bowl. Would you be shocked if I told you that Dan Campbell has more wins as the interim Dolphins head coach than he does with the Lions? Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
How about that? I got Miami in this one. I think Detroit's early run of having this potent offense was about the extent of what they're going to have success. I think the honeymoon phase is getting over, and this team is what they've had been for a long time, and that's the Detroit Lions. So give me the Dolphins on the road.
I'll take the Dolphins, and I cannot wait till when the game ends. The embrace between Dan Campbell, who's what, 6'6", 285, a massive man. And Mike McDaniel, who's about 5'7", 160 pounds, like the two opposite ends of the coaching
Oh,
spectrum.
yeah.
You've got Dan Campbell is, this just loud, pumped up type of guy, and Mike McDaniel, who looks like someone out of a Wes Anderson film. So yeah, I can't wait for that. That should be the biggest hit on Sunday, is when those two guys embrace after the game. I'll take Miami.
Next, we have Tennessee at Houston. I took Tennessee in this one. Houston is a team that obviously they're a team that's a candidate to sell. Brandon Cooks, surprise, surprise, has been on the trade block, or at least discussed among several teams as a trade candidate. Again, Davis Mills is Davis Mills, and limited at the quarterback position. At the end of the day, I like Tennessee, although I should have checked this out, but I know Ryan Tannehill, he got injured last week, correct? He got,
Right, I think he's questionable for the
yeah.
game.
So obviously, without Tannehill, there might be a little bit of wrinkle to it. But I still think at home or on the road, the Titans will come through on this one.
This looks like a stinker to me because Tennessee's a very slight favorite at Houston. They should be more than a field goal favorite at Houston, considering how Tennessee has played. And now with Indianapolis changing quarterbacks, this is Tennessee's division to take control of. So you would expect them to go on the road and beat Houston. And look, Mike Vrabel's one of the top five or six coaches in the sport, I believe. I really think that he's sensational. Yeah, I'll take Tennessee in this one. They're a veteran team. They'll find a way to win on the road.
Next, we have Giants at Seattle, which is shaping up to be one of the marquee matchups of the NFC, which, again, you would have had to tell me that a few times and then somehow still tried to convince me that if you would have said it at the beginning of the year. But I like the Giants in this one. And I know I've been pumping up the Seahawks, and I asked the question, are they the best NFC West team? And they still could be. But I'm really, really starting to buy into the Giants, which I'm sorry, Giants fans, that's probably mean you're finally going to lose a game because I've started to buy into them. So I will take the Giants in this one on the road.
Yeah, I like the Giants. I think their pass rush, their blitz package will put a lot of pressure on Geno Smith, and they'll be able to win on the road. But again, it's a cross-country trip. Seattle's home field advantage is real, and they're playing with a lot of emotion as well. So, yeah, who would have thought the Giants at Seattle in Week 8 would be one of the two or three most interesting games of the weekend, but it is. I'll take the Giants on the road.
San Francisco at the Rams. A handful of years ago, this was appointment viewing. It still is. There's a lot of intrigue in this matchup and certainly has the star power. I'm going to take San Francisco. I think they're going to rebound after, you know, kind of a disappointing outing against Kansas City, but I think in another week with Christian McCaffrey actually, like, in the mix and you know, practicing and all that, I think they're going to get a lot better. And I got to believe that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play a little bit better. So give me San Francisco.
San Francisco always beats the Rams in the regular season. Unfortunately for them, they weren't able to win the NFC Championship game a year ago. I do like San Francisco in this situation. They're slowly getting healthier. I think their roster is so deep. And that pass rush to San Francisco is going to give Matthew Stafford a lot of problems because that Rams offensive line is very leaky. I'll take San Francisco as well on the road.
Next, we have Washington at Indianapolis. It would have been the Carson Wentz Bowl, I guess. I don't know. But ironically, neither Carson Wentz nor Matt Ryan will be starting this game. And that's incredible to think. But we have to pick a winner, so I went with Washington.
If this isn't the ultimate flip of a coin game, yeah, I don't know what is.
That's literally what I did. John, literally flipped a coin. I had a quarter sitting here. I was just like, "Yeah, screw it." Washington,
well,
it is.
I'll flip a coin. I'll take Indianapolis at home. I'll go with them. Yeah, I mean, this is one that nothing would shock us in this game. We get Sam Ellinger.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very, very ugly looking game. Let's just put it that way. So,
yeah, let's put it this way: it's not going to be seen in much of the country.
No, definitely not. So, all right, last one. Green Bay at Buffalo. And yeah, trust me, I'm right there with you. You know, I just don't see a way this Green Bay team, based on what we've seen this season, is capable of beating Buffalo right now. I just don't. I'd say the same thing about the Buccaneers right now if they were playing this week. They just have not shown. And again, much like the Buccaneers, the Packers, the least of the Packers' problems is the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand, like, you know, again, he's an easier guy maybe to hate or get on top of. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to sit here and sell out what I believe is how I view football. And that is, I think, I'm pretty consistent. And I'm going to be consistent when I say, yeah, I would love to sit here and say, oh, look at Rodgers failing again. You know, just kind of fun, because it's always fun to go back and forth when you're a Brady and a Rodgers guy. But I can't do that. You know why? Because I know what I've seen. And what I've seen is a team that, much like the Buccaneers, are kind of lost. They don't really have a lot of, you know, flow or rhythm or any sort of consistency to what they do on a week-to-week basis. But at the end of the day, the only reason these two teams are even barely in the race is because of their quarterbacks. Like, I mean, that's just what it is. So, but with that said, I just don't see how Green Bay wins this game. Maybe at home, but you're taking on Buffalo coming off a bye week, off a huge win against Kansas City. Now, maybe there's a chance that they have a letdown, but I don't think that's this Buffalo team. Last year, yes. This year, no. I think this Buffalo team is they're the elite of the elite right now. I don't think they're going to lose this one, so give me Buffalo.
Green Bay's defense, in theory, should be constructed to at least contain Buffalo somewhat. They've got a good secondary, good pass rush, but they just haven't put it together this year. They have these lapses where they'll go a quarter and a half and teams just go up and down the field at will against them. If that's the case with Buffalo, Buffalo will score three touchdowns in a moment's notice. That's a concern. I think Buffalo will win this game. They're just too good right now. I do think Green Bay might keep it close. It might be one of those games where it's 27-20. So if you're interested in wagering, maybe take the 11 points, which sounds crazy that Green Bay's an 11-point underdog. But they are, because Buffalo's that good and Green Bay's been that bad. But, yeah, Buffalo right now is the best team in football. I can't see them slipping up on a Sunday night when, you know, you really focus for the national TV audience.
Yeah, and again, you know, two weeks to prepare. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not betting against that. So, well, that's going to do it. And we're going to say goodbye for the week. We'll be back on Monday, of course, to kind of recap this weekend and, of course, you know, preview Monday Night Football. Maybe get dressed up a little bit. You know, we'll see. We'll see. I might have to, you know, dress your photo up here up on the screen, but we'll see. That gives me quite a free rein of things that I can do, which might not necessarily make you happy. But anyways, we will be back on Monday. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Be sure to tune in Sunday morning where myself and Braden are back once again to talk the Sunday slate of games and preview the day's action. And then, of course, we have our fantasy football show immediately following, right before 1 o'clock game. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So be sure to tune into that. Give us a follow on Twitter at Full Press NFL, at FPC Radio Live. And, of course, go over to fullpresscoverage.com and check out everything that we're doing over there. It's a lot of good stuff. But then again, I'm biased. So thank you, everyone, and we will talk to you soon.